Welcome everyone to episode 41 of A Shot of Business Central and a Beer. Today, Ken and I have the privilege of welcoming Ryan Sullivan to the podcast. Ryan is a Microsoft developer who is part of the Solution Systems implementation team. And he specializes in integrations, web services, power apps, you know, all that good kind of stuff. So, Ryan, welcome to the podcast, my friend.
Well, thanks for having me.
And more importantly, welcome, but also thank you for our beer recommendation today. Why don't you do the honors of tell us a little bit, what are we drinking here today?
Today we're going to be drinking M43 by Old Nation. It's part of their New Orthodox series. There's about four New England-style IPAs in that line.
Okay.
Very nice.
Out of Michigan, looks like. And this is a 6.8% ABV.
A little bit out of your range, Ken?
It's getting it's a little high. It's right up on the edge.
Six and above is...
Yeah. Seven's the official limit.
It is unfiltered, so make sure you give it a little swirl.
Is that so?
So, Ryan, you do know a little bit about beer, probably a lot more than we know. Have you ever brewed your own beer?
Yeah, me and a group of friends brew beer typically about once to twice a month.
Yeah? And you stay with the same styles, or do you change it depending on the seasons, or what?
Definitely change with the seasons, depending on who's brewing that month, too, makes a big difference. Anywhere from IPAs to stouts to Christmas ales. So we've kind of crossed all the thresholds. A couple of sours, but that's tough to clean the equipment afterwards.
I've never had a Christmas ale. I see them sold all the time and always want to try it, but I've never...
Is that like a kind of like a brown, like a dark Scottish ale kind of type thing?
Typically darker, but it's a spiced ale. So if you're familiar with mull wine, it's kind of the beer equivalent of mull wine.
You guys add a little nutmeg to it?
That's sometimes.
So first off, smell. I definitely smell the grapefruit, citrusy, right from the get-go.
Yep. Hazy. Yep. That's the hazy IPA.
Yeah.
Yep, for sure. And that's the haziness is by due to the yeast that's used, or
very, very heavy hop bill in there. A lot of the hops coming in after the actual boil, as they're starting to slow down the temperature and get it to a racking stage where they can get it in to start adding yeast. Typically, a lot of hops get added at that time in a New England style IPA, and that's what gives you a lot of the aromatics without as much bitterness.
You're really elevating our beer game here today.
Yes.
Huh?
He absolutely is.
Now, here's one of the things I noticed. I do like and enjoy hazy IPAs. This one doesn't have as much sweetness as some of them do, right? This one's more like, seems more balanced. Is that fair? Like, there's a lot of, like, have you had Son of Juice?
Oh, absolutely, by Maplewood?
Yeah.
Yes.
So Son of Juice is my number one.
Yeah,
right now.
I think it comes down to the yeast that they're using in that one, where this is a little bit higher alcohol content, so that means a lot more of the sugars in the beer got eaten and transferred into alcohol.
Alcohol, okay. So it's harder to get a high alcohol sweet beer
without adding
sugar to it.
Yeah, and typically the grain bill on a New England style IPA is going to be really light, light grains. So, not so much on the a lot more of the wheat.
Yeah, I get a lot of grapefruit. I don't know about you guys. You get grapefruit?
Oh yeah.
Some pineapple notes. No, I'm just messing with
grapefruit.
I just read that on a review.
I'll tell you what, I could drink it on a hot summer day.
speaking of the reviews, I did went checked out Beer Advocate to see what the experts,
craft beer experts,
finger air quotes, have to say. And here's some of the highlights that I thought were noteworthy. Compared to others, I find the taste a little too simplistic to really say outstanding.
Interesting.
Hmm. Right? This one says, finishes like juice, but then surprisingly dry. So,
don't understand that's
like that less sweetness?
Yeah.
Finishes velvety opulence. A little bit watered down.
It's Carson right there.
here's one. Like we were talking about Boss Tweed, which is like at 9.5% or whatever. This guy says, I'm enjoying this much more than Boss Tweed, which was the first Old Nation beer that I tried a long time ago. I would like to try it again, but fresher. So,
I can't say that I agree with most of those, of what you just read.
Right.
But a couple that I read that I agree with are Complex and Crushable. And somebody else said, so good. So,
how about this one? Tomlerson123 from Ohio says, this is his entire rating. 16-ounce can at John's house in northern Michigan.
He must have had a lot. Or she, whatever.
he trailed off. Maybe he might have passed out just as he was getting going there. I'm not sure.
So I was going to tell a little bit more about the beer.
Oh, yeah, please do.
So it's a 65 IBU, New England IPA we talked about. In Beer Advocate, it's ranked 159 in the New England IPA category, which is pretty high. And it's ranked 541 overall, which it's probably one of the higher beers that we've actually had on the show. It's pretty high.
Take your word for it.
Average review, 4.39 out of 5. So
yeah, that's pretty high.
Yep. It's a good beer. I like it so far.
Much higher than the Polish lager we had last month, but
well, much higher than our favorites
too. That was pretty tasty though, for completely different taste, you know, style. But
you ever bought BeerAdvocate.com?
Oh yeah, of course.
Yeah, Miller Lite's at like 2.5. Corona's at like 2.5.
You're not. Wait, Ryan. You're not Tomlerson 123 from. Are you?
No comment on that.
What do you think about this can? Yeah. Oh, not too bad.
All right, well, welcome. So today is going to be all about integrations. We got a shot of Business Central coming your way for some news and updates, but then we're going to dive pretty deep with Ryan on integrations with Business Central. And then lastly, we're going to wrap it up just by reviewing AppSource. And if you're looking for integrations, the type of integration apps that are out there, and what you need to be looking for, or questions that you need to be asking if you're looking for an integration app out there. So stay tuned.
Welcome back to the Shot of Business Central, where we bring you the latest and greatest Business Central news. Today we've got a couple little updates for you. First of all, the minor update 20.4 was released, and in it there's 11 platform and 39 application updates. There's also two feature changes. First one is current user support for the SMTP email connector, which is where you can now use SMT protocol to send emails from Business Central with the SMTP connector extension. Say that 5 times real fast, SMTP.
You did well.
Yeah, I'm trying. Second feature change is the Shopify prospects get a great first run experience. What it is, I don't know, nobody really knows, but according to Microsoft, you can create an onboarding experience that depends on where the Business Central sign up originated. The origin is defined as the sign up context, which is available in version 20.3 and later. Ken, anything you want to add to that one?
No, it's pretty good. You did well.
All right, great. Let's see what else we got here. Oh, Avalara has been acquired by Vista Equity Partners for $8 billion. I don't expect much to change. I'm hoping that when Vista Equity Partners comes in, maybe they can, you know, fix a couple things that happens to companies that experience rapid growth, where like their support, I know Avalara has support all over the world. Sometimes it could be a little bit difficult. But
yeah, I think, you know, Avalara was a publicly traded company. So, you know, I think like any other publicly traded company, there's a lot of scrutiny on performance and metrics and pressure to live up to shareholder expectations. Mm-hmm. So this is a private equity company that's purchased. So it's no longer, going to be a publicly traded company. It hasn't closed yet. But when it does, right, they'll be able to maybe do things a little bit differently,
yeah.
And to be sure that they're, you know, focusing on long-term goals and objectives instead of short-term profitability and meeting Wall Street's expectations. But yeah, at this point, nothing, it's not, no major changes expected. Still, you know, and the Vista Equity Group, I think this will be one of their largest holdings. They have other technology solutions as well. But
I think I heard it might be 25% of their entire portfolio.
Yeah. So it's a good you know, it's not like Avalara got taken over by some other sales tax software company and everything's going to have to get migrated to another tax solution or something.
Yeah.
It's just different owners, hopefully with maybe with some different objectives. So maybe there will be some changes in 6 months or a year, but that's to be determined. But nothing major kind of expected.
Yeah, it sounds like the focus is going to stay on tax. You know what I mean? So they're not going to deviate from it. They're just going to do what they do. Like you said, not worry about outside pressures from shareholders and meeting prices and Wall Street and whatnot. So... Other thing I got on my list is just want to let everybody know the Business Central office hours. September 6th is the next one. It's on Power Automate and Power Platform integrations. Always fun. Writer Brian Taley.
And what are the office hours in case someone hasn't
It's just Microsoft personnel talking about or educating users as well as partners on Business Central features.
Okay.
That's all that it is. They just pick a different feature, different whatever, and go over it and talk about it. So,
okay. Those are live events?
They are. They also have an office hours recordings page. We'll put both the links in the show notes.
Awesome.
But, yeah. What about you? Okay. Anything else, Ken?
Yeah. You know, we got this fall's coming up. It's late August here. And we've got two conferences coming up, DynamicsCon in San Antonio, September 14th through the 16th. And then also the Dynamic User Summit in Orlando, Florida, October 10th through the 13th. So two options now for user conferences. It's going to be interesting to see what the numbers look like, how many people are going to be attending each one. I've looked at the agendas and the, you know, the sponsors and everything for both, and you know, both are going to be good shows with lots of good content and
sponsorship. Let's be honest. They're competing against each other.
Absolutely.
So we want to see who wins, as most people do. At least I do. I want to see who wins out.
Yeah, it seems as if everyone would probably be better served with one user conference, with one large group where everyone can plan on that and have access to the same content. Yeah. But we'll see. Right?
It's good, right? Because you have the established show, you know, and then you've got the upcomer with the superhero branding and DynamicsCon trying to take out the old establishment. So it makes for good drama just to see who wins.
Yeah. On the other hand, I mean, if there's multiple user conferences, I guess more options for people, right? Maybe you don't like San Antonio.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't like Orlando, and
it'd be nice if they worked together. They weren't back to back months. You know.
That makes it hard. Yeah, I'd be really curious to see are there any users who are going to both?
Right. Because how much could the stuff be different from the first or second?
Right.
Yeah. You've got some sessions as well at DynamicsCon.
DynamicsCon, in San Antonio. Gonna kind of check that out, see what that's all about. That'll be my first time there. It's actually only the second annual DynamicsCon conference for Business Central. So I think they've had may have had a couple other smaller events. Going to check it out, and I'll have a full report for everyone at the late September podcast.
Yeah, maybe we'll get a recording of it or whatnot too.
How it went, yeah. So also in the news, just an update, everyone. Last month we went through the 2022 Wave 2 new features. I think there were like 33 or so new features coming out with the next release in October. And I did just go out there and check, and as of late August, you cannot yet create a new sandbox with the new version 21 or 2022 Wave 2 release yet. So I think that is scheduled for September.
Yeah.
But I did want to go out there and just check it out to make sure it wasn't there yet. And then the last update I had is not so much of an update as it is a feature change. So a few, I don't know which release it was, one or two releases ago, they came out with a new feature from the item record called item references. Or you may have noticed that the what used to be called item cross references is now called item references. So we had some questions from people like, why did this change? The official word, if you go out there and look at the help or online documentation for it, is that Microsoft wanted to be able to provide longer item like reference numbers. The old one was like 20 or 30 characters. This is like 50 characters. I'm not sure exactly why they couldn't have just increased the character length to 50 and keep it the same exact table, but it's actually a different like tables.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to mention that because for a while it was a you could enable it through the feature management and say, okay, yeah, I want to start using the new item references. In version 20, it's there. Like the item cross references that you're used to seeing from the NAV days, that's gone, replaced with item references. And so what's noteworthy is if you have existing extensions or mods or customizations or other functionality tied to those, you're going to need to review that and make sure it still works and maybe re-engineer your solution or some code to reference that new item reference.
So I'm with you. They should have just changed the original code to allow for 50 characters or whatever. Right?
Yeah, I don't see any reason they couldn't have done that.
Yeah, there must have been some other reason.
There has to be, yeah.
But because again, you know, usually Microsoft does a good job of considering the fact that there are hundreds of thousands of users and companies out there using versions of this that are going to be upgrading. So try not to change the structure of what's already there. But unless you can do so in a, less invasive way, but it happens from time to time. Along these same veins, another one is the sales pricing functionality, right? Where they've changed, you now have sales price lists and purchase price lists. So if you are upgrading to Business Central, you do have to pay attention to that and how does it take your current sales prices and purchase prices and discounts and transition those into the new price list structure. So those are a couple things. We've talked about that a couple times before, but item references is another one that people need to be aware of. So
awesome.
That's your PSA, public service announcement.
WTTW. All right, so that's about it then for the news?
Yeah.
All right. It. Next up, we've got the major interview with Ryan Sullivan. So everybody stick around and stay tuned.
Hey everybody, during this segment here, we're going to be talking about integrations with Ryan Sullivan, our special guest today. integrations is something that I think we in a roundabout way have talked about on various episodes. But we've never really taken kind of a deep dive on integrations. And I think there are a lot of assumptions that people make about what it takes to integrate between two systems. And
today it just seems like everybody just assumes everything integrates with everything in one step, right? One click, it's integrated.
Right. And if I have a database and you have a database, we'll just integrate them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I don't think it's quite that easy. And so luckily we have Ryan, who has years of experience working. I don't want to steal too much of his thunder. But our goal today is to find out you know, how you know, what options were used to be available if you were integrating Dynamics NAV with something? How has that world changed if you're now running Business Central on-premise or Business Central online, a newer version, like version 20, let's say? What do you need to know? So without further ado, welcome, Ryan. If you could give us a little bit of your background. I think you have a really interesting background. A lot of our listeners here are users. They sure. come from right companies that are running Business Central every day, and maybe they're working on or planning an integration for something. So tell everyone a little bit about your background as it relates to Dynamics.
Sure. I actually started for a facility supplies distributor, small to medium-sized business, as a contractor to design and implement a customer-facing website after a not-so-great go-around with the TradePoint product. Mm-hmm. This was about 8 years ago. They were using the Vision 2009, so the web services and things that are available today were not, they were available-ish, but not very functional.
Yeah, hardly.
So they existed in name anyway. they said they were there. So after creating this customer-facing website and getting it to integrate with Business Central to not only communicate inventory to the website for customers to see billing information and things like that, but also taking the sales orders and putting them directly into Navision instead of using an email order form kind of thing where somebody would still have to double enter. The owner had a couple other requests for me to try to tackle, a lot of which dealing with like some business intelligence reporting kind of tools that were, again, not existent in Navision 2009. So developed some reports that could then be used to increase sales and all that kind of fun stuff. And then from there, it just kind of started spiraling like crazy. I actually ended up creating almost an entire warehouse management system for this customer. Eventually integrating scanners, barcode printers, license plating for pallets and things. So almost full-blown WMS. That was created in-house, but also integrated directly with Business Central.
NAV.
Or I'm sorry,
NAV 2009.
Yes, NAV 2009. So through this whole process, I became a system administrator for them, as well as developer. Okay. Spent 8 years there playing with all the fun that Navision had to offer. Built most of this on PHP and SQL code. Again, because APIs weren't available, so had to essentially create the APIs myself, that the Navision 2009 API that these other platforms that we built could then communicate back and forth with. Also integrated it with some external third-party services, such as routing platforms, marketing tools, and things like that for email disbursement, okay. etc.
So a lot of that was... you had this other app sitting out there, and it was reading and writing data between this other app and Dynamics NAV through SQL.
Yes,
mainly SQL kind
of. So yes, requests. a lot of SQL queries being processed by PHP. So okay. there were websites and portals built using HTML and JavaScript and all that fun front end stuff that makes it look pretty and fun. But PHP was really the programming language on the back end that was processing all the data and making the queries to and from SQL to create the entries, retrieve the data, display to the end user.
Okay.
Would you say what you did back then with NAV would be easier to do now with Business Central? And if so, why?
Oh, 1,000%.
1,000%?
1,000%. Just the ability to
that's 10 times easier.
Can we just say exponentially easier? for all the non-math listeners.
So with Business Central, there's full capabilities with APIs, depending on the version that you're running. There are some limitations when you start getting prior to Business Central 18, especially. But with the current version of Business Central, APIs are full-fledged, ready to go, as far as that's concerned. To do the kind of queries to pull data and the code it took to actually create a sales header and create a sales body line from scratch on SQL calls. So validating data through my own script and then having SQL just insert that line directly in the table. So now you can update a document, call a post, or submit, and it's done. I mean, wow.
And not only that, but I mean, done in a much better way, right? Where the Business Central is it's running it through kind of the front door,
yes,
right? To pass through the validations and things. Whereas
yes,
I'm guessing on the back when you're going direct into the SQL tables, you're potentially bypassing some.
Oh, there were many a times where the software would, especially in the early on stages and new development as I kept growing this warehouse management system or, any part of this, where the direct SQL entries would definitely cause conflict because it was a misvalidation, a code field that wasn't capitalized.
Yeah.
So right, something as simple as that now with running it, like you said, directly through Business Central, you can run that validation right then and there, and it'll either error or it'll correct it and everything's right. Good.
Yeah. So do you prefer CAL over AL?
No.
No?
No. No.
So CAL being the old proprietary, yep, Dynamics code, AL being the new modern Visual Studio code.
You prefer the old one.
Oh, hands
no.
off.
You said,
or no, the, no,
no, no, first CAL over AL.
You said, do you prefer CAL over AL? And he said,
oh,
no.
He said, no, gotcha.
No, no, no. No, AL is definitely a lot cleaner.
You should have yelled out, that's a trick question. Yeah.
I thought I answered it the right way.
You did, yeah.
It's the beer, man. It's the beer.
No, AL programming is definitely much better than the old CAL programming. Just the speed and efficiency that it can be done at versus CAL is just tenfold. I mean, even back then, because of doing more of the integration kind of work with something that didn't have the capabilities to integrate, I did some CAL programming to make things happen, but primarily most of it was external to that entirely.
Wow.
So, but I did have some experience with CAL. Had it based on once we had the routing side and all that working, where it was populating the route inside the sales orders, then inside CAL wrote a script that when we went to an invoicing script that would then run through that entire route and print everything up backwards so that it was right for the drivers, et cetera, et cetera.
Very nice.
So, I am not a developer, right?
Neither am I.
But my understanding is that there's generally kind of two ways that you can integrate. Maybe I'm, again, totally not saying this right. But it's possible that you can do a direct integration between two systems, right? So system A, system B, and they're just passing data back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can use a middleware type solution, which sits in the middle. And so message from system one, you pass it into the middleware translates that and then transfers it over to system two, right? And goes back and
yep.
forth. Is any pros or cons or thoughts about the use of those? Which one, if you had your preferences, which would be preferable?
Really depends on the situation.
Okay.
Me as an individual, I'm a little bit of a control freak, so I'm always going to opt for I want the control over what I'm sending to somebody else. So in an integration standpoint, if I'm requiring a third piece, a middleware, mm-hmm. I can only be responsible for what's going to them, and then I'm hoping they're finishing the job correctly the other way. So I prefer a direct integration. Now there are instances where a middleware is going to be required. For whatever reason, I really can't see a situation where it is, but there's potential for it. I haven't ran across one where it's necessary. I've seen where it's been used, but not necessarily necessary.
Like translating data, maybe? Like if I have LB for pounds and someone else has, the other system has LBS, I'm going to pass LB to them, and then it's going to translate that and send an LBS to the other.
Could be solved system, real easy maybe? with a reference table though inside of Business Central as well. That just says when your API is processing anything that's LB, make it LBS and send over. So you can handle all.
So there's
of that.
A way to handle it in a direct communication, but maybe if you have a bunch of those. Or there's really complex translations or mappings that have to go on, gymnastics or whatever.
Sure.
Maybe middleware. Okay, so go direct if you can.
Absolutely.
But if you can't, maybe then middleware might be required to handle the passing. Maybe is a middleware required when you have a potential two-way bi-directional?
No, most APIs can run asynchronously, so they can actually. Okay. There's synchronous and asynchronous. Synchronous requires a response back before it can continue working. Asynchronous will continue to work without receiving a response. So they can work in two directions at the same time. So Business Central can be sending out calls while receiving calls. So there's no kind of conflict that would occur there.
Okay.
Where middleware might really come into play is something like for security reasons. Maybe there's security protocols that Business Central can't
read directly into another system.
Something along those lines, or even an internal server that then encrypts. Or most of the communications across APIs are encrypted anyway using HTTPS. But if for some reason there's a security requirement that Microsoft Business Central can't handle, there might be a third party that can do deeper encryption or something like that.
Interesting. Okay.
There's a lot of apps, right? They use a third party that are coming to mind, the middleware, or no? Are they all direct integrations? That have portals
the most obvious example I think that for me comes to mind is with Microsoft. With Dynamics, you've got Business Central, and then there's Dynamics 365 Sales.
Mm-hmm.
Microsoft is handling that integration through the Dataverse database. So right, Business Central actually writes all the it's kind of keeping in sync with this Dataverse database,
mm-hmm.
and then it's the Dataverse that environment that's syncing data with D365 Sales.
Gotcha.
Right, it's not actually Business Central talking directly to D365 Sales. Behind the scenes, mm-hmm. it's using this common data model behind the scenes. But other options, we worked with these couple add-on solutions. Expandit. Mm-hmm. Expandit has a mobile service product that we've deployed. And, they have offline service capabilities.
Sure.
So because if their service technicians need to go into an area where they don't have an Wi-Fi or internet access, they still need to be able to capture all this data. And then eventually at some point they go back, they upload that data into their database, and then it's synced when available back into Business Central.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So yeah, you're right. There's certain situations. So middleware if you need it.
I guess, and those offline products are actually working off of a really tiny version of a database on the phone that's storing it locally using local storage, which is a whole nother topic for a whole nother day.
That's another podcast.
But
there's actually a limit to how much can be stored then?
Potentially based on the device you have, sure. But for the most part, it's using really small databases, SQLite, right. Something like that, and it's compressing that at such a high rate that,
But even e-commerce, there's e-commerce solutions out there, or some omni-channel products where, you know, you're selling through eBay, Amazon, Walmart, maybe some other online portals. They capture all that data down into a database, and then from there, the orders are pushed in. Yeah. So that's kind of like a middleware. Something like Channel Advisor is one that comes to mind. So they're gathering all these kind of orders from all these different places, or communicating from all these different sites. And then the integration is from that product to Business Central. So all the orders, so it's one funnel to Business Central, or from Business Central, even though you may have all these different points.
Perfect example, yeah. Instead of writing an integration directly to Amazon and this, that, and the other, somebody took care of those channels already, and you're only working with the point-to-point between the middleware and the...
Yeah.
So why don't you like the offline databases? Like with Expanded, you said you kind of thought it was stupid the way they did it?
Oh, no. It's about the only way you can do it. I said after you get connected, it dumps the data.
Oh.
So for your space question, did you hear it's junk?
Yeah.
Okay, No. I said it dumps the data.
Okay, gotcha.
So I was actually working on a product that was going to do this at the old company, so for service guys and things like that. But once you get reconnected to the internet, there's a process running there in the background that says, Where's my internet? As soon as it sees it, it says, here you go. Here's all my data. Free up my
push
space.
It forward.
Yeah.
So definitely. So with Business Central Online, I know that you cannot, you don't have any direct access to the SQL database, right? So you can't do like SQL views or triggers or things like that, that maybe with an on-premise solution you could. Right. So that's you have to use APIs basically
So and through Business Central as a even on premise, through Business Central you don't have the visibility of SQL either, other than through queries, page data, those kinds of things. But I guess with an on premise environment you do have direct access to SQL as the
If you want it. It's frowned upon, but
yes.
You could. Yeah.
Why is it frowned upon?
Direct data entry causes a lot of corruption. You could, something like I said, early days, something as small as unit of measure, which is a code field. If somebody put, if it passed through as a lowercase EA instead of an uppercase EA, crash the item every time you crash nav. So,
yeah. Or wrong format on a date.
Yep.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Because those validations are stored in the Business Central code that validates that to make sure it's in the right format. And if you're just pushing it into a field directly into the SQL database, it doesn't have an opportunity to pass through that code.
So can't you code something to where if it doesn't line up to be exactly...
You rewrite the validation.
You have to be aware enough to know that I need to make sure that that doesn't happen. And yes, then...
So once you crash the system, you learn...
Yeah.
Yep. Right. Yeah. You do it 5, 10, 20 more times. But yes, you learn eventually.
Yep. Now, one of the other things I know that is important is sometimes if you can't, maybe some integrations aren't done through a direct like real time API, but you're going to get a file. So let's say an e-commerce site once a day is going to kick off a file with like 100 orders in it. And we're going to grab that file and we're going to import that file as sales orders into Business Central. There's issues with that in terms of that file, where that file needs to sit.
Limitations, yeah. The software as a service version of Business Central Online doesn't have local file storage that's accessible. So even though you can upload a file directly from your machine... and download a file from Business Central, the actual online environment doesn't have file storage that's accessible. So there are options, though, using Azure Blob Services storage that you can transmit files to and from using it like a local directory on your computer as if you were on-prem.
Gotcha. It's more tactical than what I know or have any
Michael,
idea.
Michael, you've been very quiet.
So to be quiet during the
you've
segment.
You've been very quiet. No, so I think, you know, we'll kind of wrap this up. Thank you for joining us. I think the key takeaway for me is that if you're planning on an integration or you're working on an integration, well, first of all, hopefully there already is a completed integration done for you out of the box, right?
Hopefully
someone has already created an integration from some product or database to Business Central
and seen it,
and you can just plug this app in and it's built, right? It works. But if there's not, there's a lot of factors that you need to consider.
Oh, absolutely.
That you cannot just assume that because the application can handle APIs or has APIs that there's an integration.
Right. And so you can't make anything integrate?
How much time and money do you have?
But if it's unlimited.
Potentially. I mean, realistically, there's always a way, right? So if there was some limitation and we had to write our own APIs out in the cloud service that could then communicate back and forth, there's always a way. But within reason, there are definitely things that won't integrate together, sure.
So Ryan, is this a fair analogy? Let's say I've got two pieces of land separated by a body of water.
Okay.
And I want to connect these two pieces of land. APIs for each side would be basically like the foundation of the bridge, right? I've got this foundation on one side. I've got the foundation on the other side. So those are the APIs. But the integration is the actual building of the bridge.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So it's making the two APIs communicate successfully together through data mapping so that they understand each other is saying. Most common APIs anymore are going to be working on JSON, which is a standard file format that for data transmission. So that kind of got handled back in years ago. You had to worry about a couple of different formats that people were using.
Okay.
So that's pretty standardized now. XML is still another big one, but it's the data mapping that when BC sends data to another API, that customer number in BC may be just number at this end of the other API. So just make those little translations and mappings that so that they understand.
Right. Yeah. Okay. And you said, yeah, can we make this integration work? Yeah. How much time and money do you have? Right.
If it's unlimited, people got it. If not.
Any other
tips or
words of wisdom or...
When looking to do an integration or looking at a third-party software with Business Central in mind, be cautious. Make sure it works, especially if they approach it with the mindset that we integrate with everything. Early on, when I came in on the Navision 2009 side, there was a lot of products that we looked at and, oh, we can integrate with that, we can integrate with that. Microsoft is a fantastic product, and they have so many great extensions and things that are out there, but not everybody can just integrate with them, even though they tell you can. Eventually they can, but for, again, that time and money thing that they underestimate a lot of times. So the key things to look at is, does the third-party software that you want to integrate with Business Central, do they have well-documented APIs? Because then somebody can look at those APIs and have a sounder decision on will it actually integrate well or not. Does it have the functionality and the methods necessary to be able to communicate successfully with Business Central and Business Central back? We kind of talked about the file exchange. Is the integration requiring file exchange? If so, again, it's doable, but there's going to be added expenses with needing more Microsoft services through Azure. So is that something that you're requiring? Just budget that in. And which version of Business Central are you running? Like I said earlier, BC18 on, you're probably pretty safe. 18 still has some limitations, but not nearly as much as before. And if you're with the capabilities of the APIs.
Okay, great. Thank you. I hope that anyone, you know, people listening, they may be sitting here like with the look that Michael has on his face right now.
I was just going to say, make sure you see the integration before you buy anything.
But takeaway, my takeaway is, yeah, proceed with caution, right? That to do some due diligence, ask some questions, and maybe make sure that you understand what's going to be involved.
Yes.
Because it could be as simple as a few hours, or it could be months of effort, on the other hand. Yeah, right?
Absolutely.
So. All right. Well, Will Smith got jiggy with it. We got technical with it. So on to the next segment, which is we're going to take a look at some integration apps and talk a little bit about them.
All right, we're going to close it up today with our app spotlight segment, where we talk about AppSource, and we're going to stick with our theme that we've been talking about today, which is integrations for Business Central. And I just did something interesting, is went out onto AppSource, filtered on Business Central, typed in the word integration up in the search bar. I get 538 results. So I don't know if that means that there's 538 that have the word integration somewhere within the...
I think it might be.
The body of it, right?
So I would imagine all the apps have to integrate somehow.
Right? Yeah. I mean, right? Don't all of the apps integrate with Business Central? So, yep. What I come across, though, is there's really two categories of apps when it comes to integrations with Business Central. The first is where there's an app that is out there that is a completed integration between Business Central and some other solution. So an example of that would be, what was the one? I just had one a little while ago.
It can be anything though, right?
Avalara. I'm finding it. Avalara, yeah. Right? Yeah, Avalara has a connector. There's a bartender label printing integration that exists. There's a Gorilla expense report, online expense report management is another example, and so on. So these integrations, these are completed integrations that have been developed specifically to integrate that other application with Business Central.
Yeah.
And generally when you do a free trial or install one of these apps, there's no really work that has to be done on the integration, right? That's the heavy lifting they've done. But there are also some integration apps out here that are more like integration tools, where it's and one is a smart connector, mm-hmm. that we looked at, which is really just a tool like that middleware like we were talking about. Like I need to get two systems to talk to each other. So how do I do that? I can use that to build my own custom integration between there. Right?
So I got a question. Ryan, would you say it's easier for somebody who has an app that has not fully integrated with Business Central to utilize one of these middleware tools than to actually go through and build that direct integration? Or is it both complicated?
So are you saying to build an app for like
the... Let's say I have an app, right? Whatever it may be, okay? And I want to integrate it with Business Central.
Mm-hmm.
Would it take more time to work out the integration to be direct as opposed to using the middleware and integrating that way? Like, what's the benefit of using these middleware apps? I mean, if...
Well, if I could, the reason I would think... Like, let's say I have this online expense report management solution, right? And I want to be able to import expense reports into Business Central. I would want to build that as a direct integration, because I don't want the people that are using it to have to subscribe or pay for another app to integrate it, like a middleware.
Okay.
Because those middlewares, those have a monthly subscription with them. You have to pay, right? That's another software application that you have to pay for.
Yep.
But in theory, couldn't you build an app to work with multiple ERP platforms and then just use middleware to connect it to all the different ones instead of building that direct integration for each one?
Yes. Yeah, as a third, you're saying as like a third party vendor?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So you would have a.
You have Michael's expense reporting solution.
Yeah, and I wanted to work with Business Central, NetSuite, I mean, everything.
So you would build a single then connection to a middleware.
Right.
But then someone is going to then still have to build the connection from the middleware to each of those different ERPs.
Yeah, isn't that what these apps are doing, though?
That is what these could be used for, yes. Okay. Although a typical end user, right, they're using one ERP.
Right, right.
So they don't really, I don't care if it doesn't integrate with two ERPs generally. I need it to integrate with my ERP.
Yeah.
Right? So there are a lot of integration solutions out here. A lot of different apps that you can integrate with Business Central. Hundreds of them, it appears. But there are also integration tools that you can purchase to, if you've developed your own app, or maybe you have some custom app. That's the other example. I may be a business, and I've got an internal developer who wrote some custom internal database, and I want to integrate that with Business Central. Maybe, for some reason, I can use a middleware for that, or I do a direct connection. We haven't answered that question. I mean,
yeah, I'm trying to find out the benefit of the middleware, I guess, as opposed to not just writing the direct connection. I guess what I'm getting is always do a direct connection.
Some systems aren't capable of handling the APIs. So Business Central can handle reading and writing APIs, but this other system can only handle flat files, delimited files. That's a reason that you would use a middleware, because you can handle different file types.
Or a DBO connection to a database.
Sure.
So that it's making the SQL calls for you, but translating that to an API. So similar.
Right, right. Like some old antiquated character-based system, the only thing they can do is send a CSV file. Right? Well, we don't want to have to maybe deal with that CSV file, send it into the middleware. The middleware, then we can connect to that and pull from that and write back to that in real time, and then it can send a CSV back. Right. So that's it. It's where you're maybe having to translate between different file and integration types.
Yeah, legacy systems.
XML really versus flat files versus who knows what types of data structure.
Sounds to me like OCR is needed.
Use some OCR. So let's wrap this sucker up with some ratings here. So we've got the new
Old Nations. The New Orthodox series.
New Orthodox India Pale Ale series M43 New England India Pale Ale. Damn, that name is longer than Microsoft Dynamics 365 Business Central.
I'll tell you where they're lacking, though, is can art.
Oh, it's clean. It's clean.
It's pretty plain. No colors,
yeah,
no arts, no nothing.
It kind of looks like a...
It looks like somebody... I don't want to say it again. slapped a homemade sticker on top of a plane.
That's their brand.
Yeah. Why not?
So...
I'll go first if you guys want.
Go ahead. What do you got, Michael?
All right. So I don't have the luxury of looking at my past scores in front of me like others.
Thanks for the reminder.
I like it. Like we always say, drink it on a hot summer day. It's got a good, you know what, for having a good grapefruit flavor, it's really good, refreshing, not as bitter, I guess, as I would assume. I'm going to go... 84. 84 is my score. Not bad.
Okay.
Who wants to go next? Oh, Ryan's up. All right. This is your first rating on a shot of Business Central Beer.
I know.
Don't get it wrong.
No, I mean, it's just it's a good, clean beer. It's not exactly knock your socks off, but for the style, it's very good. The aromas that you get off of it, the mouthfeel, and the tropical fruit forwardness of it is really, really good.
It's got that pillowy mouthfeel.
It does kind of starts out sweet on the tongue, kind of finishes smooth on the back. Absolutely. Go 8 and 9.
8 and 9?
8 and 9.
Nice.
Okay. All right, and that leaves just me here. I'm going to go 90.5.
No. He's bringing it. 90.5.
90.5 because I've got to fit that right in between the Modelo Especial and the Omega Haze.
So one was a 90, one was a 91?
Although I feel like I might have to have another one of those Omega Haze. It's starting to get a little fuzzy.
It's a little hazy?
The memory, you know? Yeah, a little hazy on the memory there.
Oh, too funny. Well, then we're all in agreement that it's definitely a good beer. People should get out there and try it. So next month, we got a special. Ken and I are going to go through our previous beers list and change some of the rankings and the ratings. So it's going to be a beer-heavy podcast, right?
Just a lot of beer and BS. And
yeah.
We'll cover some news and make sure we
do. If there's any.
You know, we gotta make sure that all the legal team here is happy that we meet the legal requirements for the podcast. Yeah. You know, cover our bases. But yeah, expect it to be beer heavy.
Are you retrying every beer when you do this?
Oh, see, that's what I think. That's what he said.
Yeah, I think we should maybe like
we would be dead.
No, it's just a shot of beer and a shot of Business Central at that point. You know?
Yeah, maybe like we get our 5 or 10 like best beers, and then we take a shot of each one and see if we'd still rank them in that order.
And you invite me back, and we're good here.
There you go. There you go.
If you don't like zombie dust, Ken doesn't want you here.
I'm in.
Is that still your number one? I can't remember.
That is my highest rated. Yes.
Oh, we'll work on that.
Yeah, you got to see the J color thing. All right, everybody. As always, share with your friends. Like us on iTunes, Spotify, wherever it is that you you listen to us. We appreciate it. So we'll see everybody next month.
Bye-bye.
As we end today's podcast, we want to give a big thank you to everyone who listens, shares this podcast, and leaves us reviews. You've taken a good amount of your time out of your day, and we truly appreciate it. Thanks again. And don't be afraid to email us at marketing@solsyst.com with your tips for the podcast, or maybe you'd even like to be a guest during an episode.